chapter in Joshua. This is probably not our last message out of Joshua, but Joshua chapter 24 tonight, we're going to see Joshua getting and making his final speech that's recorded in the Bible. I always find it interesting with these last words. And inside of this passage of Scripture, we have probably the most famous quote that came from Joshua. We're going to look at that a little bit tonight. The title of tonight's message is, It's About Time You Made Up Your Mind. It's about time you made up your mind. You ever been with somebody, it seems like they struggle to make up their mind? It gets taken a little while, maybe at the restaurant table, and waitress is sitting there waiting, and you got like, come on. We play different games. We don't play poker at my house, but we play different card games at my house, and we have one of my sons. He just takes forever sometimes to cast. He wants to make sure it's the right one, and sometimes it's about time. You know? So it's here with the nation of Israel, it's like that. After all these things that they've gone through, and they've seen God do all this miraculous thing, it's time to make up your mind. It's time, who are you going to serve? And let's look here. Let's start off in verses 14 and 15. We're going to try to do an overview of the whole chapter, at least the majority of the chapter. But you're going to find in this quote the familiar one that most of us know. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we think about that famous statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Or choose you this day whom you will serve. I began thinking, you know, some of the famous quotes, and I went back and thought about some of the famous quotes that people are attached to, some of the great historical quotes. And I think of especially the ones from America. And you think of Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. And you think about what Franklin D. Roosevelt said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. JFK was the one who says, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Nathan Hale said, I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. We think about Neil Armstrong. I know he wasn't in America at the time, but when he said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And, you know, different people are known for certain quotes. And here, this is probably what Joshua is most known for, at least in my mind, at least quote-wise. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We even have a little plate on our door at our house. I think our church at one point in time gave away some of those plates for some reason or not. I still have a stack of them upstairs in the office that was left behind from Pastor Thompson. So if you need one to replace that you're going to put on your front door, or if you don't have one at your front door, let me know. You're welcome to have them. But it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so I think Joshua is now at 110 years old. He's saying goodbye, and he comes to them and says, okay, you have a choice. It's time to make up your mind, because Joshua is now seeing what's going on. He's gone and built a city, but he sees that they're not pushing everybody out of the land like they were supposed to. He sees that they're cozying up and living with the Canaanites and living with the Amorites, and many times putting them under tribute, where God says, you need to get rid of them. And Joshua says here, you need to make a choice. There's a choice you need to make, and you're going to have to choose whether you're going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve someone else. And what has come and what is a problem here with the nation of Israel, the same thing with the problem many times in our churches today, is they want both. They want the world and God at the same time. They don't mind serving God because of all the things God has done for them in the past, but they can't understand why they can't have this also. Joshua even talked about that in verse number 19. He goes to him, we're going to talk about this in a little while, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. He's saying, look, you might say you're going to serve the Lord, but you're not going to serve him the way you're living right now. You're going to have to make a choice. There's a choice you need to make. And that's what's going on here. And so tonight we're going to look about it. It's about time you made up your mind. And so with that idea and that thought, we're going to look at verses 1 through 13. When you're making a choice, it's good to consider things. So it's a time of contemplation. a time of contemplation. First thing Joshua does in verses 1 through 13, he begins talking to him about, remember, look, you need to make a choice here. This is important. You know, it's time you make up your mind who you're going to serve. But before you make this choice, let's remember some things. Let's look here at verse number 1. It says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. And Shechem's a good place for this. It's a special place. And called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. Some people even think that maybe the tabernacle this time was moved to this spot just so that way it can be a ceremonial type thing. And Joshua, the leader, leaving on the scene, giving his last official speech to all of them. And he says in verse number 1, gathered all the tribes of Israel. Verse number 2, Joshua said unto all the people. So I believe that all the people are present, but he speaks to the elders first so that way they can translate the message to them. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. So he gives them, this is not something new that you're facing. Before the flood, and even, you know, Abraham's father, you know, they served other gods, and that gives us a little bit of a background, what Abraham was called out of, you know, and his family. They were a family that worshiped other gods, but Abraham was one that listened to God when God says, get you up out of this country. Verse number 3, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. He's giving a little bit of a testimony of what's going on here in the life of the nation of Israel. I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron and plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward, I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea up on them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And you think about it here that, you know, he's just reminding them of things that they already knew, talking about their fathers and grandfathers and what they experienced. Verse number 8, it says, I have brought you into the land of the Amorites, in which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, and that ye might possess the land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And now look what it says in verse 13. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye have planted not, do you eat. So Joshua is getting ready to, you know, be honest with them, be blunt, and say, you know what, you need to make a choice. This here it is. This is a choice you need to make. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve the other idols? And he's going to say, there is no compromise. There is no serving God and man, and there is one or the other. Now make your choice, but before you make that choice, let me remind you of some things. He encouraged him to contemplate God's power in their lives. I think it's interesting, even while I'm reading through these verses again, I keep on seeing where it said, I sent, I brought. You know, I brought, and it's God that says it, I would not hearken unto, and I deliver them into your hand. I sent forth the hornet, and I have given you a land, and it's the power of God. And I think that's amazing that, you know, Joshua's like, okay, you got a choice here that you need to make, and you know what? Remember the power of God. Remember of all the things he did. Now, you know, he's destroyed all these other gods. He's done all these other things. Now, remember God's power. Contemplate that. When you're going to make a choice who you're going to serve, when you're going to make a choice what you're going to do with your life and what you're going to do with your family, remember the power of God. But also remember the presence of God. The same thing that I described, the verbs that were found in there. I took, I gave, I sent, I brought. You know, all those different verses, it starts with the word I. God was with them throughout this all. You know, and I remember that story about Elijah on the Mount Carmel, all those different gods, you know, that he was against the 850 different prophets of the other gods, and they were crying out, and there's like, you know, God, you know, the prophet of Baal, and the idol Baal, and the other, they were calling out for their God to bring, send fire down, and there was no answer. And Elijah, you know, messes with them and jokes them and says, you know, maybe he's sleeping, maybe he's away, maybe he's this, maybe he's that. You know, we can't say that about God. You know, he's there with us. He's seeing us through this. And when you contemplate who you're going to choose to serve and who you're going to put on your side and who you're going to say and make this statement, you know what? Who am I going to serve? Remember the power of God is what Joshua is saying. And now remember the presence of God, but also think about the provisions of God. I think it's kind of interesting at the end of verse number 7. You know, they talk about all these different things. At the end of verse number 7, you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. He says, you know what? He provided for us in the wilderness for this 40 years. It was because of their unfaithfulness and because of their obedience, they were stuck there, but he provided for them all those years. And then you even go to verse number 13, and he says, the things you are experiencing today, you know, the land that you're in, you didn't labor for. The cities that you're in, you did not build. The vineyards and the olive yards, you're eating of those right now, but you didn't do anything for those things. I gave you those things. And I think it's important when we're making a choice, am I going to serve God or am I going to serve self? I got to remember what God's power is like. And I got to remember that God's presence is with me. I need to remember God's provisions for me because God has provided things for me. He's given us so much and it's a blessing. You can imagine the grace and mercy that God provides us. We have more than we could ever imagine when it comes to our spiritual lives. We have a home in heaven and it's secured. We have the Holy Spirit of God living with us. We're in the presence of God. I mean, you think about it. You know, we have the Word of God. We have prayer. We have so much. And when we're going to choose who we're going to serve, we got to remember these things. And when we come up to this choice, am I going to serve God or am I going to serve self? Am I going to live biblically and have a biblical worldview or am I going to have a self worldview or a humanity type worldview? I got to remember that God's the one that has the power and God's the one that's kept his presence with me and God's the one that's provided for me. So I think it's a time of contemplation, but also there's a time of choosing. You know what? You're going to have to make a choice. Look at verse number 19 again. Reminds me of our sermon a little bit on Sunday morning with John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist had all those people that wanted to come forward and get baptized. And what does he call them? He says, you generation of vipers. And he says, you know, who hath said to you about fleeing the wrath to come? And he says, bring forth fruits of repentance. Be sincere. Be real. Don't try to fake this. And that's what he's saying in verse number 19. 16, 17, 18, the people respond, of course we're going to serve the Lord. That's the easy choice. That's the right choice. In verse number 19, he says, you're not going to do it. And he's saying to him, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is the holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. So Joshua is saying here, it is a time to choose. Whom will you choose you to say? Whom this day you will serve? And you know what? He says, you can't have both. You're going to have to make this choice for yourself. And you cannot serve God the way you're serving him right now. And I want to encourage you tonight, we need to make a choice on how we're going to serve God, but many of us cannot serve God the way we're doing it right now. We're trying to have both. And you know, in Matthew chapter 6:24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And that's what this is. It's a time to choose. You're going to have to make a choice here. And that's when he comes in verses 14 and 15. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord. He's given instruction. Verses 1 to 13, he showed him the power of God and the presence of God and the provisions of God. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods from which your father served on the other side. Now he's saying you have to put these gods away. Obviously, they're having a problem with this. Obviously, they're already dealing with this. They're already trying to compromise. They're already trying to have God and the other people at the same time. He says, your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. But he says in verse number 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. I have that underlined. I think that's kind of interesting. If you think it's too much, that God is asking for this much. If you think it's evil, if you think it's wrong, if you think that you got to have your own way, then choose you this day whom you will serve. You need to make a choice here. It's not playing on a fence here. You need to say, either I'm going to live for God or I'm going to live for self. Make the choice, as Joshua at 110 years old is kind of saying this to a nation that has followed him and saw him, and he's lived a life, and he's chose how to live the life. And then he says, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods, the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But he said, I've made a choice already. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, I've made this choice. I think it's a personal choice. I'd like to make this choice for everyone. I'd like to make this choice for every person in the world. I think we should all serve the Lord. That'd be great if we could. We can't. It's a personal choice that we make. I also, when I think about a personal choice, I think it's a parental choice too. I know I'm speaking to people that have kids in their homes still underneath their roofs. You know, he's saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. At 110 years old, I don't know if he had any kids in his house. But, you know, he says, you know what? My family's serving God. And it is a testimony. You see that has been passed down. Like we learned last week about Caleb, and we talked about how the first judge was from him. And was his nephew, and maybe he even raised that young man. You know what? Joshua is saying, this is the challenge. I've accepted this challenge. It's a parental choice, and we're going to serve God in my house. We're going to do this. And I think, parents, you have a right to say that. You have a right to say, that's not going to happen in my house. That's not going to happen. You're not going to listen to that while you're under my roof. You're not going to watch that while you're under my roof. You're not going to wear that. You're not going to do these things because we have made a choice to serve the Lord, but that's a personal choice first. Your young people need to see you doing that, because you see what it's all in verse number 14. He says, serve him in sincerity and in truth. You know what? Your young person can't have you saying, you can't do this, and then you turn around and do it yourself. It needs to be done first, fearing God. You know, fear the Lord. You have a reverence and respect for God, that you don't want to fail him, that you don't want to mess up. And then you do it sincerely. You do it out of a heart that is sincere, that's wholehearted, it's complete, it's with integrity. And then you say, you know what? I want you to follow my example. Now, when they get out of the house, you do your best to try to influence them. You do your best to try to help them. But when they're out of the house, they have to make this choice for themselves. But while they're here and while they're my responsibility, I'm going to say, as Joshua did, and I think it's interesting, at 110 years old, he's saying, it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you're going to be at my house, this is what we're going to do. We've made this choice. It's a personal choice. It's a parental choice. I think it's a purposeful choice. There is a reason for this choice. It needs to be made because there's two different choices to live by. And this choice, I think it's important to realize, as we mentioned already, it needs to be done by fearing the Lord, with sincerity, and with truth. That word sincerity is an interesting word. It comes from the Latin word, which means without wax. And its illustration is, it was used to refer to scrupulous pottery dealers who sold first-class pottery that was not supposed to have cracks, that was patched with wax. When patched pottery was held to the light, the wax patch would be easy to spot. So it is with people who live a sincere, insincere life. When they are held up to the light, many times their hypocrisy shows. And the implication for us is that God does not want his people to live in hypocrisy. He wants us to be what we claim to be. He wants us to be without that patch. He wants us to be living for him and be sincere for him. But so many times we want God, but we want the world. And God says, you got to have to make your choice here. You can't, because either you're going to love me or you're going to love that. You're going to have to make a choice here. And that's what Joshua is telling these people. And as he's leaving this book, it's a book filled with promises. It's a book full of the victorious Christian life. And he's not going to be there any longer. And he's letting these people return into their inheritance. And it covers many, many miles. And they're going to have to make a choice for themselves. They're going to have to say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And this one's going to have to say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And all these different tribes are going to have to make all these decisions. And Joshua is saying, be sincere. Don't be a hypocrite. It's like John the Baptist saying to him, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. If you're sincere, you will show with your life. Don't just do it. It's for show. And that's what he's seeing in verses 16 through 18. This is their response. So we see a time of contemplation, a time of choosing, but you see there's a time of consecration. You say, Pastor, you're just making it too hard. You know, I made my choice. I'm going to serve God. I don't need to do this, this, and this. There's a consecration that needs to be involved. We see that what happens in the book of Judges happens over and over, that they fall back and they serve other idols. But look at their response in verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We would never do that, Joshua, but they're already doing it. He said you had to put away your gods. It's something that they already were having struggles with. Now you need to put these away. And he says, God forbid, we never do that. In verse number 17, for the Lord our God, and they began talking good about God. You ever met somebody who talks really good about God, but their life doesn't line up? That's where it's talking about in sincerity and in truth. For the Lord our God, he is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt for the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelled in the land. Therefore, we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. So there's a resolve there. And, you know, you read that statement and you're like, okay, that sounds good. But we know what happens. There needs to be a consecration here. There needs to be a seriousness. There needs to be setting apart and realizing that we're a holy people and that they really need to change their lives to show that this choice that they have made has been for God and for God alone. And that's what Joshua is saying here. And he comes back and says, no, you're not. He even says to them, you cannot serve the Lord. And verse number 19 says, you cannot serve the Lord. It's like most of us would be like, thanks for that testimony. That is really great. I'm glad that you said that. We agreed. Let's keep on going. And Joshua's like, I know you. I know what you're doing. I know what you're going through. I know what you're experiencing. Ye cannot serve the Lord that way. You're going to have to consecrate your life. You're going to have to make a choice. And he reminds him, don't be fake. It's not going to work. You're going to have to put away the other gods. You're going to have to incline your heart to the one true God. You're going to have to be dedicated, and you're going to have to be witnesses to one another. Look what it says in 19 through 23. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. Of course they can serve the Lord, but he's saying the way you're living right now is not going to work. Why? Because he's a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord, and he's warning them, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt. I mean, that's pretty, if you don't do it, something bad's going to happen and consume you after that he have done you good. In verses 16 to 18, they're saying, man, of course we're going to serve God. It's the obvious choice. Verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And the people say, no, Joshua, you got us wrong. You don't know our hearts. We're sincere. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now, therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods. If you're really sincere, now get rid of the gods. Bring forth those fruits worthy of repentance. Show this which are among you. And incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. I think of verses 16 through 18 about people who talk a good game. People who are, man, I love God, I love Jesus, but then you don't see them in church or you don't see them doing any of the things that the Bible, I'm not saying me, because, you know, some people say, well, you're legalistic, which I don't think they know what that means. But, you know, but biblically not showing biblical Christianity any shape or form. You know, of course I'm going to serve God. Of course I'm going to live for God. Of course I'm going to do these things. And Joshua says, no, you're not. Not with the way you're living right now. And they're like, yes, we will. Yes, we will. Then put away the strange gods. Stop. Make a choice that you're going to serve God instead of that thing that you're serving right now, that idol. And then there's the reaction of the people in verses 24 through 28. You saw the resolve of the people, a reminder of the people, the reaction of the people. They respond, they start. And once again, this is what many times believers will do. They'll start off, but many times they'll fizzle off in the end. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua, you know, you can only take a person at their word. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. and set them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. And we see another statue or another, we've already saw six or seven in the book of Joshua, different just representations, memorials. Verse 26, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak. That was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord, which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. So Joshua did everything he could to say, okay, go serve God. And they went many miles apart. Verse 29 says, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of the inheritance. And you go down verse 31, and it says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So that's when they served the Lord. You go to Judges, and they're in a mess. We look at Judges chapter number 2. There's another generation that rises on the scene that doesn't know God, doesn't know his mighty works. Why can it go from one spot? We're going to serve God, we're going to serve God, we're going to serve God, to the point that they still have their false gods. It's because we need to make a choice. And I know that the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5:5 is better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. It's like, don't come up and make a choice and say, I'm going to live for God and not pay for it. But the choice is obvious. When presented the way that Joshua talked about it, what other God are they going to serve? The God of the Amorites that they get destroyed and they're living in their land? The God of the Egyptians that God plagued? The God of, the other people that God had caused to... No, it's an obvious choice. And Christian, it's an obvious choice for us. When we remember God's provisions and God's power and God's presence in our life, the choice is obvious. Yes, I'm going to serve the Lord. Yes, I'm going to do it. But are we making that choice? It's easy to say, but how do we do that? We fear God. We serve him with sincerity. And you think that word serve, that means that we're actually doing something. That word serve talks about in that spot means to fulfill the role of a slave. That word serve that's found in verse 14 talks about fulfilling the role of a slave. And it talks about how, I view myself as God's, and it's God's that I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and that's my choice. I'm going to fear him. I'm going to serve. I'm going to fulfill that role as a slave to God with sincerity and with truth. What happens when you don't? What happens when you're the person that says all those things, but in the end you don't do? Man, your life's a mess. I mean, don't we know people like that? That used to talk and talk and talk, and now it comes to the spot that their life's a mess, and you see in verse number 20. And it says, then he will turn and do you hurt. He's not going to allow you to live this way without causing you to try to see the errors of your ways. Let me encourage you tonight. Consecrate your life. Give it over to God. It's an obvious choice. I mean, it's the simplistic choice. When we see that God saved us and brought us from where we were and the opportunities that we have, the choice is pretty easy. I think we can see it. We're here on a Wednesday night. We'd like for our families to get it. We like to say, can't you see this? It's pretty obvious. There's a problem. And the problem is there are so many people that give God lip service, but they're making the choice of trying to live for the world. Oh yeah, I love God. Oh yeah, but then their actions don't show forth. That's when we come to Joshua and he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But you got to make that choice for yourself. I'm making this choice for me. And I'm making this choice for my family that I'm going to serve the Lord by fearing him with sincerity and with truth. Choose you this day. Have you made that choice? And I'm not talking the choices 16 through 18 that says, yeah, of course we're going to make that choice. I'm talking about a legitimate, I'm going to give the Lord my life. I know God worked on my heart on Sunday morning about, being sincere and being real, not being hypocritical. And if there's areas in our life and there was something in my life that I know that I could do a little bit better in, and I wrote out Monday morning, you know what, God, this is something I'm going to do better. I'm going to try to do better. And I wrote out, it says, Lord, this is something I want to work on. Was it a necessary sin? No, it was probably something more that was slowing me down in my Christian life. I said, Lord, I know you want me to give this to you. And I wrote out, you know, Lord, I'm going to give this to you because I want to be real. I want to be sincere. And I want to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. If I'm serious about being right with God, and I'm serious about getting things right, there should be an action here. There should be a consecration. I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith. I get that. But if you're sincere in your Christian life and there's something you want to change, stop with the lip service by saying, okay, of course I'm going to do this. Of course I'm going to do that. Make a choice. Fear God. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.